Welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things,
the podcast.
I'm Macy.
And I'm Naomi.
We're two counselors who enjoy talking about deeply disturbing things, and we want to share some of that with you.
Dive into the vortex with us.
Welcome.
Unscripted and uncut.
Yes.
Uncircumcised.
Yes. So you have good news today.
I do. I had a granddaughter, my first granddaughter, born yesterday, and I was part of the birth team.
What's her name?
Stella.
That's a cute name.
I know.
Aww.
That's pretty adorable.
Stella. Who thought of it?
They thought of it. Yeah. All by themselves.
Kudos.
Little adults now. With a little family.
That's nice.
And so I was up for almost 24 hours straight yesterday, so I'm a little loopy.
Yeah.
But I didn't get sick from you, so that's good.
You know what's weird is the next day, I was fine. And I literally felt horrible. So I don't know what happened to me.
It might have been like a little bug thing.
Yeah, and my antibodies fought it off or something.
Yeah, so I'm glad I didn't get sick. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Wonderful.
And being part of a birth team, being like in the splash zone, that's really
intense.
It was fascinating.
New for you to be on that end of it?
Totally new. I've never been in a splash zone. Birth. I mean, we visited friends, but we always kind of like,
you know,
got out of there like before the action started.
I've been to a splash pad, but there was no blood or babies.
No, I was right there. I was in the zone. The zone of engagement.
It's terrifying.
The touchdown zone.
Was your son in the zone?
Yeah.
Wow. Great.
So it was really
interesting.
He didn't
pass out or throw up or...
No, he was a total champion. He rose to the occasion. I was actually really proud of him. It was
nice.
A really emotional, primal experience. And maybe one day I'll become a doula or something, because I really thought it was really cool.
You become a what?
A doula. Do you know what a doula is?
I have no idea. No.
They're like a woman, usually. I mean, maybe there's a man doula out there. That's
doulo, perhaps.
A doulex. Let's just be gender neutral.
Okay.
But they are there to support everybody. So the mom, the family, everybody, just anything like... They'll set up an essential oils thing. They'll do massages. They'll run to the store. Just like really whatever you need. Yeah.
That's nice. It's kind of like that family member, if you don't have that family member there to do everything
for you. Yeah, and they're experienced, so they can answer questions because they've attended a lot of births.
And be calm.
They're that calm, grounding presence. Yeah, it was super cool. I mean, I don't know what the training looks like, but...
Lots of babies, I'm sure.
If it's not too involved, I might consider it one day, because it was kind of cool.
Interesting.
But, I smelled like birth after.
That's odd.
And I don't recall, I mean, I've had two kids, I don't recall, like,
smelling 99%
anything. Of the entire experience, even though I'm like, well, this all must have happened to me, too. You really block it out. I think there's some kind of...
That, I've heard about
amnesia
that.
Amnesia that you get.
Yeah, it's actually like a survival thing, because your body wants you to keep being able to have
babies.
And if you remembered how traumatizing on your body it was, you probably wouldn't have a baby again. So, it, like, your memory kind of blocks it out.
Well, you instantly... I mean, the second they hand me that baby, you've instantly forgotten everything. You're 100% focused on just, like, looking at that cute little baby.
Like, look at this little thing that came out of me.
Yeah, and you forget everything else, because I don't remember, like, that there's, like, a really strong smell that is hard to describe.
Yeah, you keep that to yourself. Or you could, if you wanted. I guess this is the place for it.
But I've never had somebody tell me that I smell like birth before, but I had somebody tell me that yesterday.
Well, you don't smell like birth today, so
I showered.
Great.
Showered that birth right off.
Lovely birth smell. I wonder if they have any, like, spritzers that they can, like, perfume.
That smells like birth?
Yeah.
I don't know if you want that smell unless you're in that moment.
Okay.
But I am really excited. After this, I'm going to go snuggle the baby again.
Aww.
I stopped by on the way to work this morning just for, like, 5 minutes to get a little snuggle time, then went on my way.
Yeah, I saw a picture. Very cute.
Don't you think she looks like me?
The Asian part?
Doesn't she look like she has Asian eyes? Yes. Totally. Yes. Yeah.
I think so.
Like Asian eyes. Okay.
Yep. You know what you're working with.
Yeah. But curly hair. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be really cute.
Who has curly hair?
The mom.
Oh, okay.
She has real curly hair.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be cute.
Yeah. Interesting. Super cute. It's a blend of a lot of different
combinations. There. Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
Cheers here.
Cheers.
Tap that. There we go.
Top that can. Mm-hmm. Anything new with you, Macy? Did you do anything for Father's Day?
My dad came over and cooked food. We cooked food for my dad. But we went to Silverwood. My mom and niece, nephew, and my stepdad Robert all came into town, and we went to Silverwood. So I rode on roller coasters. I went on some other ride and went
Did
to Boulder
go on the
Beach.
Water thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Went was to it
the,
fun?
The wave pool. It was the first opening weekend, so it actually wasn't really crowded at all.
Oh, I'm surprised because it was really hot on Father's Day.
It was. So went Friday.
Oh, okay.
And there was like barely anybody there, so it was really nice. Like no lines for anything.
I went. I took my boyfriend floating on the Little Spokane River on mm-hmm. our blowout boat. Our Okra, SS Okra, on Father's Day, and spent like 4 hours.
Oh, yeah, I saw that was
sun.
A good picture.
We're all sunburned.
With his sun hat on.
Yeah, he'd never been. I mean, he's a local, but he really, I've had to introduce him to a lot of the cool Spokane things.
I've never floated the river.
Little
I've been
Spokane
here
is
10
amazing.
Years,
it's a protective
years?
Wildlife area, mm-hmm. so there's not a lot of riffraff. They don't allow tubes. You have to be like in your boat. They mm-hmm. don't want you swimming in the water or anything like
gotcha.
That.
Gotcha.
So it's really gorgeous. We saw a lot of baby ducks and got all sunburnt. And then after had a barbecue and drank too much beer. And then of course the second I fall asleep, that's when I get the call.
Oh no!
That the water broke.
Oh,
of course.
After you're buzzed and tired and
exhausted, sunburned, hungover. Yeah, that's when I get to spend 24 hours straight awake doing super stressful things.
And I have to say I was right that you would be going. Oh, no, it didn't. It happened that night.
Yeah.
When did she give birth?
8:10 was the final.
P.M.?
Yeah.
When did she go in?
We went in at like 2:15 in the morning.
Wow.
It was a long ordeal.
Ugh. That does sound very painful.
It was a lot. It's draining. I mean, I wasn't even the one doing it, and I was tired and drained.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. That's why maternity leave is a thing, and it should be respected.
Well, I'm pissed off I don't get grandma maternity leave. Aww. Like, I should get something to be able to go help out, you know?
To be in a doula.
I think that there should be grandma maternity leave to go and help out with the baby. Like a week of helping.
Yeah.
You know, to do all the little things.
A week sounds reasonable.
Totally reasonable. I bet in Denmark they get a fucking year. All family members probably get a year off to spend bonding with the baby. That's why Denmark is the happiest place in the world. Not Disneyland. Denmark.
Denmark.
Don't mix them up.
Okay. Why would I mix them up?
I start with a D. Both.
Oh, okay. Got it.
I'm a little loopy. I didn't get enough sleep.
You know, I like that you're on your game.
You're like so tired, you're kind of hallucinating a little bit.
You look, no offense, you look tired.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. But you don't smell like,
I don't smell like birth.
So that's cool.
Well, you know, as long as I look good. Or smell good. I guess I don't look good, I look tired.
You can look good and be tired.
I didn't put on any makeup today.
I complimented your outfit today, right off the bat.
Yeah, well, that's what I put on a dress. I like one piece dressing.
Yeah.
You know,
it was nice.
Throw on some cute shoes. I did not bother with any makeup. Not that I wear a lot of makeup anyway, because I was raised by wolves. But I was sometimes try to at least go for a little mascara. Yeah.
Well, your grandmaternity leave can involve no makeup.
God, grandmaternity leave. That needs to be a thing. Somebody needs to write their senator about that.
Grandmaternity leave?
I hope I get to go first today, because
I wrote our mayor for the first time.
Who is our mayor?
I would have to look up his name, but I wrote him an email thanking him for inviting, because the transgender story time at the Spokane Public Library that happened.
That was a big controversy.
Yes, it
was. I thought there was going to be protests and things.
Yes, yes.
Did they end up doing it?
I'm pretty certain they did, yes. So But I wrote an email to him thanking him for, because it's a, through the city of Spokane, and for promoting inclusion and, you know, supporting our LGBT
community. Did he organize that, our mayor?
No. Oh. I'm pretty sure he wasn't the one that organized
it. You're not giving credit where credit
is. No, it wasn't really credit. It's because they're getting flooded with people who are being hateful about it. And wanting it to be canceled, and they weren't shutting it down.
So you're thanking him for allowing it to happen.
Yeah, just trying to say, like, okay. Hey, there's people on the other side that are happy that this is happening in the community. It's not just negative people.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. What are you looking at?
I'm distracted by watching our voices on the sound thing. Because now that you pointed that out to me, now I'm...
paying attention
to
it?
Getting kind of self-conscious about it. I'm trying to make mine not too spiky or not too low. Right in the middle.
Because
I know I have a tendency to mumble or also get spastic and talk too fast. So.
Yeah. Did you go first or did I go first?
I don't know, but I really
like it first.
When I go first because...
It's not about what you like.
I feel like
What do you think this is? Do you think I'm Corbin?
Less tipsy on my candle.
Sorry, Ben. yeah, you're sleep deprived. Maybe you should go first, because if you're sleep deprived and drinking wine, I'm probably going to lose
then I can
you.
Just relax.
I'm going to lose you in 15 minutes anyway,
that's
so right. Go ahead.
I can just relax and enjoy your
it's
topic.
It's so hot in here.
I open the window. It's summer. No, I see. This is how it was in the old days, so just, you know, drift back in time. And
the
this,
old days, it's was. Hot now. Current days. All the time.
Didn't have, like, AC, centralized air in the old days.
It actually was, like, on Friday when it hit the hundreds. That's the hottest it's been that early at all.
I like it.
At all.
I enjoy a hot day. I don't.
You're from California, that's why.
I don't really use a lot of AC in my house. I like to prefer to sit and sweat or, like, go out on the porch. Those are my preferences.
Now you said sweat. I thought of birth smell.
I put it in your brain, and I can't even describe it, but it's very distinct.
I've unfortunately smelt birth smell from
like animals?
Dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, from helping bulldogs be born and stuff. Yeah.
Imagine that, like.
It's very. It's
really like amped up and powerful and.
It's like a bloody mucus mix. You're welcome, listeners.
It's
bloody mucus.
It's like briny,
irony. Yeah, there's like a. There's a little. Twist on the end.
Yeah. But I do not recall that from my own two births, and I'm sure the room was...
I'm sure you smelled like birth.
I should ask my ex-husband if he remembers there being a smell. See what he says. But he was probably traumatized.
Well, and they say that a lot of women actually poop themselves while giving birth.
Yeah, a lot of things happen down there.
It's terrifying.
Because you're pushing as hard as you can.
So if there's anything there, it's gone.
Anything, yeah. I was super paranoid about that happening. So, I didn't eat for, like, 3 days.
I was still terrified. They will cut 7 centimeters on your, like, vagina wall.
Oh, episiotomy?
Yeah.
They really,
try not
to do
that.
A good doctor is really gonna not do that unless
because
it's an absolute
more infection and healing. But,
well, think about it. It's,
yeah.
Think
about it. I don't want to think about it.
A tear is gonna... heal up more than a straight
cut.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but from what I have heard of those is that the woman is in so much pain from just childbirth that they don't even feel. They don't even react to being cut.
No, no, no. God, you don't feel any of that.
Yeah, which is insanity to me that you wouldn't feel being cut open with scissors because you're in that much more pain by something else. Horrifying.
Well, you're pushing a watermelon out your vag.
It's impressive.
Happening.
It should be like...
And you're... So the dilation of 10 centimeters, it's like a grapefruit could fit through. That's just the dilation, and then it pushes open more when the baby actually comes through. I mean, a human being comes out of your body.
It's really odd.
I feel like I need to go to more births because I really...
You're
got
just
into
bad.
It.
You're so.
I got into
you're
it.
So close right now. It freaks me out.
And like after the baby was there, and I'm like looking at the baby and like holding her, I was still like, okay, she was inside there. Like, it's just, it's amazing.
This whole time spying on us.
Like, she was, yeah, the whole time. She was there with that face and those big eyes. Did you see how big her eyes were?
Yeah, big eyes.
Yeah. Like, she was in there listening and looking. And now she's out here listening and looking. Big eyes. The instincts, though. I mean, they have that mm-hmm. instinct. They turn towards mm-hmm. your face. Like, mm-hmm. that's an instinct at birth.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, rooting around with their mouth to find boob.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are all instincts.
Mm-hmm.
I think the big eye things, you know, just to look extra cute so you, like, love them right away.
And to see if they're going to get eaten.
And then look at you, you know, to have that connection. Like,
mm-hmm.
take care of me, feed me,
it's amazing.
Me.
Like, I've done, like, I've read so many books on attachment from birth to, like, early infancy. And,
yeah,
like,
it's so
amazing,
cool.
Yeah.
And their eyes, like, just focus on that perfect distance,
yeah.
like, to the face.
And then it slowly gets broader and, like, farther and farther out over time. Pretty,
yeah,
pretty
I felt like, and I know this probably is not true, and it's probably just me, but I honestly felt, like, when I picked her up for the first time, like, she knew me. I felt like she, like...
Well, she's been around you. She's been around you.
Well, she's heard my voice a
yeah.
little bit. But I was watching when other people, like friends and stuff, came in
mm-hmm.
and held her, and there wasn't the same thing. I felt like she was a little more restless, and
yeah.
her arms would come out. Her hands are giant. Damn, that girl needs to palm a basketball or something when she's older. They had really big mitts.
Wow.
Maybe she'll be a female boxer or something.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. All right, are you ready for my topic?
Yes.
Yay.
Bring it on.
Okay, so this combines one of your loves, books.
Oh.
which one? One of your hates, pedophiles.
Oh, man. I've been watching so much To Catch a Predator in this last week. I've watched all of them.
This topic is about...
So timely.
The possibility or the suggestion that Lewis Carroll, the author of Alice in Wonderland, was a repressed pedophile. Have you heard about this?
No.
There is a documentary on BBC that called into question his relationship with the real Alice.
What?
There's a real Alice. That's the Alice in Wonderland
books
are based on. The story of Alice in Wonderland came from stories that Lewis Carroll would tell to Alice Little and her two older sisters. Alice Little was the real-life Alice who was the inspiration for the book.
Oh, that sucks for the other kid. Sorry.
The older kids?
Yeah, you don't get books written about you. You're not important.
Oh, she was pretty cute. Not from a pedophile way.
I guess we're going to get to that.
From a just... liking cute kids way. In a not creepy way.
In a new grandma way.
Yes, now I feel like... scared to say anything. In these times. Lewis Carroll first met Alice when she was 4 and he was 24. At Oxford. In jolly old England. Where both... he worked as a librarian and where Alice's family lived. So Alice's family was appointed the Dean of Christ Church, which is part of Oxford. I don't know what that means. I was going to look it up, but I forgot. I like my research to be thorough.
Yes.
And I had no idea what Christ Church was, and I was going to look it up to see what that was.
You know, my dad, every time he listens to our podcast, he says, you just need someone there looking things up for you all the time.
I like to have people look things up for me. I make my kids do that all the time.
Yeah.
I need a personal look wrapper. Okay.
Feel free to look that up, fans, please.
Look up what Christchurch is. Lewis Carroll enjoyed taking photographs of many people, but his photographs of Alice have been described as arresting and startling, and as if the camera is in love with her. And I looked at the photos, and...
do you have some for me to see?
It's true. Well, I find some for you.
Yeah.
Super quick. Well, hopefully.
I feel like I don't
hopefully
know the context.
Quick. I didn't prepare this. Sorry.
Jeez, what have you been doing? Staying up with a birthing mother?
I've been part of a birth team.
Do your research. Very disappointed in you.
I'm so sorry. Oh, God. Okay, let's see what I can find super quick on the fly with a Google search. Oh my goodness. Okay, all kinds of weird other photos just came up. Oh, here's one.
Okay.
This is one I'm going to talk about in a minute.
Ugh.
Where Alice is...
making eyes at the camera.
Dressed as a beggar girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But it is arresting. Like, you feel drawn to her, don't you?
Yeah, but I don't feel like you could blame that on the cameraman.
Well, there's other photos.
Is she naked in them?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Continue on.
Let's see.
Whenever you do the, that's the wait. Wait a minute.
Here's some more. Here's another Alice photo. And these are all Victorian era. But I do find them, like, you're drawn to these photos. They're good from an artistic point of view.
Absolutely.
I'm not finding the one that I'm going to talk about a little bit later. Okay. Lewis Carroll developed a close friendship with Alice and her sisters, at first by trying to take photographs of them. So they lived on this Oxford campus together, and they'd be playing outside or whatever, and he'd talk to them. Alice was definitely singled out as the special one. He became very involved in the lives of the little family, going to their nursery, teaching them magic tricks, you know, and they would visit him in his room as well.
The fact that there's a favorite worries me, because I've heard that over and over again with, like, serial killers or, like, child molesters. Yeah, that's concerning. Keep going.
So, of course, I'm piggybacking right away on what you just said. I'm reading a massive amount of pathology into this when I'm watching this documentary and reading about it. Because, you know, I'm super jaded, and we just sometimes, unfortunately, see just the worst side of society. Mm-hmm. And we deal with a lot of, you know, children that have been sexually molested. But the way they describe the way he kind of got involved and immersed in the family life, it reminded me of that Abducted in Plain Sight documentary.
Yeah.
And the Leaving Neverland. How just the family just takes in this person.
Well, and part of it, all those situations, they're not just wooing the children or, like, gaining favor with the children. They're gaining favor with the whole family.
Exactly.
So then things they do potentially are swept under the rug.
We should talk about that Abducted in Plain Sight documentary sometime, because I did finally watch it.
It was very interesting.
I was super disturbed by it on many levels.
The fact that they, like, knew all this stuff happened, and then part of his therapy is to listen to the tapes while laying in bed with her, and the family's just okay with that and lets him do that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to blame, like, the family.
Oh, I'm blaming the family.
But it just seemed clueless.
Well, it's because she was in love with him.
Wake up.
The mom was in love with him. And the husband,
talk about it right
the
now.
Husband got a hand job from
it. What the fuck was that? Talk about random, unexpected moment in the documentary.
But again, that's that.
I did,
like,
not see that coming.
It's the charisma.
And then she slept with him too, right?
Oh yeah, he told her that they were in love.
Getting into it with this dude.
He told her that they were in love and that it was a special thing. Gave the dude a
hand
job. How
is he that great that he's screwing?
It's the charisma. It's the confidence.
Both. Husband and wife and daughter. Like, that.
But he immersed himself to know everything about them. That way he can manipulate everything about them.
Tap into their weaknesses.
Yeah. 100%.
Like, he's like, this dude really secretly wants to give me a hand job. I can tell.
And she was so upset because she couldn't go.
His story.
During
about
the
that.
Summer camp.
About the hand job.
Which, well, no, it was very creepy.
Yeah, I'm like, really? Like, that's why you decided to do it? Because he really seemed like he needed it.
Yeah, it wasn't for me.
Yeah, it wasn't. You weren't sexually turned on at all.
He really
just
needed it.
Helping that guy out.
Yep.
Poor guy.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Go on.
Yeah, that was a big actually difference to me between the Abducted in Plain Sight and Leaving Neverland documentaries. Because a lot of people compare them, but I did not feel that sorry for the parents in Abducted in Plain Sight. I felt like they just kind of needed to wake up. But I really felt a lot of sympathy for the moms in the...
Yeah, because I think there's a difference in, believing in the best in somebody and being brainwashed yourself. I think, like, in a power position, you tend to trust. I think that's a mistake everybody could make. Just like with the USA gymnasts.
Oh, yeah.
They were being molested in front of their parents. So he would do the test, would explain what he's doing, but then, and the children would try to explain, no, he's inside of me, and he's like, oh, no, that's not, she's misunderstanding. And they just stand there and let it happen, because they trusted an authority figure for years. I think that's more common.
That was another disturbing topic.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Ugh. It's more common than people like to admit, and most people say it would never be them, but, you know, if you're not cautious, it would be.
Well, they say 1 in 5 children are sexually abused,
mm-hmm.
which is staggering and
And you can
terrible.
Always tell when they come in the office, when, like, how they behave and how they act, and you're like, oh, that little, like, this kid has been sexually...
Oh, the red flags.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, no.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You're just waiting for that, too. Yeah.
Not fun. It's definitely not a fun part of being a counselor.
No, and that's why I'm doing a vicarious trauma training on September 1st that you are assisting me with.
Yes, I am.
You saved the date, right?
Yes. Okay, no, perfect. I haven't, but I will.
Please save the
date. I'm so bad.
Because if you don't assist me, I'll cry.
Why don't you invite
panic.
Me on a, like, calendar?
Okay, I'll... Invite you on a calendar. What does that mean?
Google.
I don't...
Share the event with me.
I didn't know that was a...
Okay. Then it puts it on both of our schedules.
Oh, I'll do that. I'll just put it on your schedule for you.
Thank you.
Say, Macy, be here.
I have a horrible memory. It goes away.
I need you to help me. Not so much to actually help me, but just in case I panic, I can just look into your eyes. And you can be like my birth team. And ground me and center
I'll
me
be
and
your,
calm me down.
Your doula. Yeah, I'll be your doula.
You can
doula.
Be my training doula. Help me
I'll
birth
I'll just stand there
training.
And look at you and I'll be like, do you need water?
Help
need
me.
Water? Anyone need water?
Help me give birth to a great presentation.
I will.
Thank
if
you.
You need snacks, I'm all over it.
Thank you.
You're
and
welcome.
Ice chips.
Ice chips, 100%.
Feed me ice chips.
Open your mouth.
Oh my god, this is going to be amazing. I'm really excited now. You can tell this was, like, a big experience for me because it's changed my life story. It shaped me.
Aw, life story change.
I know.
That's so great.
Should I put a life event
you,
on Facebook?
You've been on in a very long chapter of your life. It's nice to have a new one start.
Oh, okay. Am I on the... Oh, I am on the therapy couch. God damn it. Why am I always sitting over here?
Because I sit
sweating.
Down very promptly.
You do. When the... Okay, back to my talk.
Okay, exactly.
When the little sisters... And it's L-I-D-D-E-L-L. Or one L.
Little?
Little.
Little?
Yeah. When the little sisters became old enough to go on outings with Lewis Carroll, he would organize rowboat trips on the River Thames. Is that what it's called? I don't think you pronounce the T-H. I think it's Tams. I've heard that.
Do I need to bring my
shows.
Dad and just have him in the back researching for us
I'm
every time?
I'm 100% sure it's not Thames.
Oh, is that how it's spelled? Okay.
Yeah, I think it's... I've heard Tams. I've heard, I think. But I could be totally wrong. Please tell us what it's really...
Unlike most people, like. We like knowing when we're wrong.
I do, because I don't want to go around sounding like an idiot all the time. Just once, I prefer. And then... To figure it out.
Or just a lot in 1.5-hour podcast.
Best day yet is my motto.
What?
Best day yet. Always improving, you know?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it was during one of these rowboat trips on the River Thames, which I'm just going to say, that the Alice stories were created. Lewis Carroll had told them made up stories before, but on this particular day, Alice nagged him to tell a story and then begged him to write it down afterwards. Mm-hmm. And so on this boat ride, Lewis Carroll came up with the story that became Alice in Wonderland. He later hand wrote the book and he drew all the illustrations himself and gave it to Alice as a Christmas present. when the story was published in 1865, someone else did the illustrations, mm-hmm. which was actually a good thing, because in the documentary they showed his original illustrations, and...
Not that great.
I mean, they're okay, but nothing like what the final ones turned out to be, which are really
amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah.
With that Cheshire cat.
That's so good.
Or Cheshire. Is it Cheshire? Cheshire. I don't know. This is like a Yakima...
Yakima
situation. Yakima. Lewis Carroll was said to have an amazing affinity for getting along with children, with his storytelling, magic tricks, and letter writing abilities. But the question remains about his relationship with Alice. This subject is very divisive among Lewis Carroll experts, because some of them revere Lewis Carroll and the Alice books. So it's kind of like in the Leaving Neverland documentary, like, no, Michael Jackson is so great, he couldn't possibly do these things. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a disconnect between the art
him.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know...
Real life.
Yeah, real life. Some of the occurrences are explained away as being normal for that time, like taking photographs of other people's naked children. Mm-hmm. Apparently that was a thing that was mm-hmm. done a lot in the Victorian times. It wasn't seen like now, you know, people get upset. Like, just a couple days ago, Dwayne Johnson posted on social media a photograph of his 3-year-old daughter, like, swimming naked, and the internet lost their minds. But
that used to be a thing.
I mean, it's fine. I mean, my kids, you know, played naked in the backyard, mm-hmm. running around until they're probably like 5,
yeah,
6. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's yep. a total thing. I don't think I even owned a bathing suit until I was like 9.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, people got really upset about that. Lewis Carroll's impeccable character is often referred to, and they just say he enjoyed the company of children. It was merely a paternal interest. So let's dive in deeper.
Let's dive.
He kept a lock of her hair.
Mm-hmm.
Does that seem out of the ordinary, even for Victorian times?
And just knowing the context so far, I'd say no. Like, if he was just, like...
Oh my god, my laptop
really
is
close. Dying. Oh no! What a disturbing thing to have happen.
It's so disturbing. Let me get my cord. But keeping a lock of the hair, I mean, that's something I kept of my firstborn child when I had more energy to do those kind of things. My firstborn child has a baby book that's chock full of things, and then my second child probably has a baby book where I filled out 3 pages and then forgot about it. I love them both the same, but, you know, get busier. Okay, power cord in. My laptop, oh, I lied to you when we talked about, you know, PCs versus Mac. I think I said I'd had this for 5 years. And I realized, no, I've had it actually for 3 years.
Mm.
And yes, it is having issues. So you're right.
I know.
Apple's
right.
Better.
Do you know what I did? Is I left my I left my Mac on the West Coast in a trailer out in the woods.
That's sad. Is that a PC?
Yeah, that's my gaming laptop.
Oh my god. You're such a nerd. Is it a Dell?
Yeah.
I think my son has a Dell gaming laptop.
GeForce.
Similar. Do the lights go red on the keyboard?
No, not on this one.
This laptop is actually a gaming laptop, but I don't game.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
What graphics card does it have?
Look, it's a Razer. They're a gaming company.
Yeah, but that thing
no,
is...
No, it's to... You attach it to a thing.
A docking station.
Like something. An external thing.
Okay.
I don't know what that thing is called.
So, it's a monitor?
No, it's... Look on the Stealth website. I can't explain it because I've never... Really
I know. I actually have one of the controllers for those things.
Okay.
Yeah. I know what it is. Yes.
I just really like it. I like how the keyboard letters do this rainbow thing. And
mm-hmm.
that's pretty much the number one reason why I bought it.
Yeah.
Because it makes a rainbow.
That's very nice.
And rainbows are magic.
Are you ready to go yet?
I am. Sorry. Okay. So Lewis Carroll's great granddaughter says herself he thinks Lewis Carroll was in love with her and it was not paternal love. And let me go back to that photograph. Did you notice?
Obviously, she didn't feel loved by
him. Did you notice that that's her nipple showing?
I did not.
Yep, that's her nipple showing. And photography experts say, see how her right arm is outstretched?
Yes.
So if that was just something that happened accidentally because she was in motion, that that hand would be blurred because the shutter speeds at that time mm-hmm. were not quick.
Okay.
And so that they say that that's proof that that was staged, that was intentional to show that nipple.
That it wasn't an accidental.
Right, because some people were like, well, maybe she's a kid, she's jiggling around, so, you know, it could have just fallen off her shoulder.
They were saying that it would have blurred.
That outstretched hand would have been blurry if that was the case. That she was clearly staying still, mm-hmm. and so that was staged. So that's another thing. The friendship between Alice and Lewis Carroll abruptly ended after the book was published. He was exiled from the family.
After the book was published? Why?
Well, that was just the timing.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And then pages from his diary around the time of the exile were cut out by his nieces when they inherited it. So that's questionable.
Mm-hmm.
The theory is that Alice's mom thought Lewis's attractions were too strong towards Alice. But this, you know, by the people that are against the repressed pedophile theory, say that this could have been explained because it was expected that Lewis Carroll would court Alice's oldest sister.
Mm.
And that gotcha. Wasn't happening. And she was 12. But the age of consent was 12 at that time, so that would have been mm-hmm. socially acceptable. Doesn't that seem young?
Yeah. Again, watching a lot of To Catch a Predator, 12-year-olds on the phone definitely sound like babies.
I mean, you might not even have hit puberty at that point.
No.
Lewis Carroll had a ritual, so everybody does agree that this is true, of, quote, chastely kissing young girls he befriended. He was a bachelor. Like, chronic bachelor, and it was said that he collected children and sometimes photographed them naked in his studio. So he really liked having, I mean, I kind of pictured, like, a Pied Piper thing with, like, kids around him all the time. Yeah, that's what I pictured. Yeah. So even though the practice of photographing naked children wasn't, like, that unusual, I did find some of the photographs disturbing. Even through looking through Victorian era eyes. So, and then there's the bombshell in the documentary. So you're watching it and you're like, okay, it could go either way.
Yeah.
We don't know. It's a long time ago. But then they dropped this bombshell and it was a full frontal naked photo that was found in a French museum. And it's thought to be Alice's sister as a post-pubescent young teenager taken, like, full frontal nudity. Mm. And they did forensic tests on the photo, and it was concluded to be probably authentic. It was super sexual. I mean, mm-hmm. even in those times. Yeah. And so it puts his innocence in a different light. Let me see if I can find that photo. See, I would have been prepared and had these photos up, but I did not. What did I say her name was? Something.
Liddy?
Lorena. Lorena Little. Okay.
Little.
Go to Google. Lorena Little. Oh, God. It's scary Googling things. You don't know what's going to put up. What it's going to come up with. Shoot. Okay, talk while I look for this.
So, on To Catch a Predator, they really all have the same answers after they get caught. They're either saying, oh, I wasn't going to do that. I just wanted to talk and get to be friends. Or it's I want to protect them and teach, you know, be able to, you know, they would invite anybody, so I'm going to come and tell them how to be safe and protect themselves from weirdos like me. And And then there were a few who did just straight out say, yep, that's what I was going to do. But just, like, really horrifying. But one of them, like, he literally went back 24 hours later.
Oh, I couldn't find that picture, but look at this picture. That's him kissing Alice.
Wow.
Does that look paternal, or does that look...
disgusting.
Okay.
No.
Does it look sexual?
Mm-hmm.
Even looking at it through Victorian era eyes?
Well, I don't know what those are, but it looks wrong.
Apparently.
How old is she here? Foggy. You're going to have to post all these pictures for everyone.
Where, how old is she there? I mean, she looks like 6 or something.
Nah, she's like 8, maybe 10.
Well, still,
8 to 10.
Still young,
probably.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. Gross. So that wasn't the photo I was looking
so
at.
So literally the photo I just looked at is her mouth smeared up his mouth. Him with his hand on her waist and her arm around his neck.
I need to find that photo.
I don't really need to see a full frontal child.
No, they'd have it blacked out.
Okay.
But her face is mm-hmm. the thing. Mm. Because she looks like an abuse victim.
Aww.
Eyes are dark, not smiling. Just, it's disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's a photo of all three sisters. This is the one who took the or allegedly took the naked photo on the older sister.
Okay.
And she has kind of that face.
Yeah.
Not amused.
Mm-hmm.
And standing there. Just standing.
Maybe that's just her face.
Totally naked. Maybe that's just her face.
Because that's kind of her face right there, too.
But if you think about it, if he's...
Yeah, if it's ongoing.
Abusing her, and that's already happening, he wouldn't be happy about that. But look at it. There's Alice. So
do you wonder...
She draws the camera in.
Yeah, do you wonder if he was sexually abusing the older sister, and then once she hit adolescence, he stopped gaining interest? Because that was also what in the guy next door, what was that show called again?
Abducted in Plain Sight.
Abducted in Plain Sight. So he continued to talk to her, but once she became a teenager, like 13, he stopped having as much interest in her. And then maybe he turned his attention towards the younger one. Mm. Yeah. That's...
Could be.
Alarming.
Yeah. So, I can't find that photo, but it doesn't matter.
So, oftentimes, pedophiles have a specific,
Actually, it's good that it's hard for me to find that photo.
That's good.
That's actually encouraging for the internet.
Good job, internet.
That it's not easy for me to find this.
Yeah.
Naked photo, but...
Very true.
It was in the documentary, like, over and over and over. So,
yeah,
there's that. I'm going to end with a quote by somebody from the documentary. And he said, "It's a problem when someone writes a great book and they're not a great person."
That's great. I like that. I actually have a book written by Lewis Carroll that is called something like Something in a Handkerchief. But it's all, like,
mathematical.
I don't remember, but it was like all these like different mathematical ways of like viewing the world. I don't know. It was a really interesting thing that I can't remember anything about. So obviously it was really good. Anyways, very interesting. Very, very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you do, if you know about this, I think you do have to look at the books in a little bit different light.
Mm-hmm.
That there was a real Alice and he...
Yeah.
Just made these stories up for her.
Yeah.
And I think he did love her.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that love was
every
paternal
single
or
pedophile
not.
That showed up there said they cared about the fake girl or boy.
I haven't seen To Catch a Predator.
Never?
No,
you can you can YouTube them.
Oh,
it's
I
not
would.
On it's not on Dateline.
Cable.
It's not on or NBC anymore.
Everything I watch as a cable, I find some kind of random, low quality YouTube version.
Yeah, you can see all of them on YouTube.
I'm fine with not HD.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm totally fine. I'm more about the story.
So.
I like your pink paper. What's up with that?
It's just me forgetting to change the paper out of my printer.
I thought that might have been what happened.
Yeah.
I wanted to call that out.
Thanks.
No problem.
You're such a good friend. So I am going to talk today about climate change.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, so...
As we sit here sweating.
Die. So the Earth's climate has changed continuously throughout history, but just in the last 650,000 years, there have been 7 cycles of glacial advance and retreat, with the abrupt end of the last ice age about 7,000 years ago, marking the beginning of the modern climate era and of human civilization. So most of those climate changes are attributed to very small variation in the Earth's orbit that changed the amount of solar energy that our planet receives. However, 97% of climate scientists now agree that climate warming trends over the past century are extremely likely due to human activities, and most leading scientific organizations worldwide have issued public statements endorsing this position. So I'm going to show you here. This is a chart graph, and all my information is actually from NASA. So it's available on their website if you wanted to go check it out yourself. So this is the graph of that time period. So this is kind of the steady ebb and flow of just orbital changes. And then this is where we are now. In this last century, they're saying is where that huge spike is.
That's a big spike.
That's a huge spike. So in 1950, the carbon dioxide level, 1950 was at 300. Current level is at right around like 415. And before 1950s, it consistently was round between, let's see here, at the lowest like 180 and at the high 300. So really that's a huge leap compared to where we've been historically. And scientists are saying this is man-made influences for the most part. So, which I'm sure you'll hear arguments against that from many people. However, this is science.
Science!
Greater than 95% probability that that is the truth.
I love science.
Science is great. So, Earth orbiting satellites and other technological advances have enabled scientists to see a bigger picture, collecting different types of information over a lot of years. And really, this is conclusive that this is why it's happening. The heat-trapping nature of carbon dioxide and other gases was demonstrated in the mid-19th century. Their ability to affect the transfer of infrared energy through the atmosphere is the scientific basis of many instruments flown by NASA. So there's no question at all that increased levels of greenhouse gases must cause the Earth to warm in response. So they've been drawing tons of ice cores from like Greenland, Antarctica, tropical mountain glaciers that show the responses of greenhouse gas levels. And what they've been finding is that ancient evidence exists in tree rings, ocean sediments, coral reefs, layers of sedimentary rock, and that this ancient or paleoclimate evidence reveals that current warming is roughly 10 times faster than the average rate of ice age recovery warming.
Paleoclimate is different than paleo diet.
Tell me how.
It just is. I just felt like I needed
good.
To.
Good, I don't have to go
to
over that
chime in there and contribute.
I don't have to go over that bullet point now. So the evidence for rapid climate change is really compelling. I'm just going to go through kind of some bullet points for you. Global temperature rise. The planet's average surface temperature has risen about 1.62 degrees Fahrenheit since the late 19th century, a change driven largely by increased carbon dioxide and other human-made emissions. Most of the warming occurred in the past 35 years, with the 5 warmest years on record taking place in 2010.
2010? What was
since 2010.
Then? Oh, since then.
Yeah, so 5 years since then. Not only was 2016 the warmest year on record, but 8 of the 12 months that made up the year from January through September, with the exception of June, were the warmest on record for those months ever. Then there's the warming of the oceans. The oceans have absorbed much of the increased heat, with the top 700 meters, that's about 2,300 feet, of ocean showing warming of more than 0.4 degrees Fahrenheit since 1969.
Hence all the sad polar bear videos.
So sad. Well, speaking to that, shrinking ice sheets. The Greenland and Antarctic ice sheets have decreased in mass. Data from NASA's Gravity Recovery and Climate Experiment show Greenland lost an average of 286 billion tons of ice per year.
Greenland, interestingly,
has
icy.
Yes.
Iceland, interestingly, is very
green. Yes. Yeah, I learned that in elementary school as well.
Isn't that fascinating?
Just so fascinating. Well, Antarctica lost about 127 billion tons of ice per year during the same time period. The rate of Antarctic ice mass loss has tripled in the last decade. That's the reason for all the sad polar bear videos. Glacial retreats. Glaciers are retreating almost everywhere around the world.
Sorry. I know I'm loopy because I honestly, when you said that, thought... Oh, a retreat to a glacier. That sounds nice. There'll be yoga. They'll have some, like, vegetarian meals. There'll be, you know, some meditation.
There will. It'll just be warm.
A hike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Not,
you can do it in the Alps, the Himalayas.
A glacier retreat. It's a glacier retreat.
Glaciers are retreating. Retreating. Almost everywhere around the world, including the Alps, Himalayas, Andes, Rockies, Alaska, and Africa.
If you do want to go on a glacier retreat, do it now while there still are some glaciers to go.
Yeah.
Retreat to.
When I was 21, I went on a cruise to Alaska with my aunt, and I got to see one of the glaciers there that is in the process of receding, and they said within 20 years it won't be there anymore.
Were they the cool blue ones I've seen in photos?
No, this was, like, wedged between, like, two mountains.
Was it impressive?
Yeah, it was really cool. You got to actually, like, walk up and, like, be at the edge of the glacier.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it was neat. Decreased snow cover. So, satellite observations revealed that the amount of spring snow cover in the northern hemisphere has decreased over the past 5 decades, and that snow is melting earlier. Sea level rises. Global sea levels rose about 8 inches in the last century. The rate in the last 2 decades, however, is nearly double that of the last century and is accelerating slightly every year. So that may not seem like a big deal. However, many places are just barely above sea level.
Mm-hmm.
And if they even, you know, an inch above sea level is going to, like, put your whole city underwater because it spreads out.
Well... Right outside of San Francisco, I don't know if this has to do with global warming or just some other factor, but that whole end of Angel Island is totally underwater, and when you drive into the city, you can see it. I don't know if you went that way at all. Right outside of San Francisco, there's Angel Island, and so when you go into the city over the Bay Bridge, you can see all the buildings, like, under the water.
No, I don't think I did see that, huh?
You probably weren't coming that way.
Probably not. So I've got some data for kind of where we are right now.
Maybe we're going to have beachfront property soon, though.
That's like, it's going to change, you know, and it may benefit some creatures and some plants better to have this climate.
That would benefit us.
It'd
be shitty for Seattle.
Yeah, exactly. Or
super
it's going to,
shitty.
Or it's going to negatively impact, other places and species like polar bears. I mean, that's their whole entire environment is going to start disappearing. And then what you like short term, okay, yeah, we can tolerate it, but long term for planet existence, you can only heat up for so long before you start wiping out everything. So,
are you gonna? You might talk about this.
What am I gonna talk about?
The reason I know things are becoming dire here for many reasons is the fact that our government is finally, like, putting effort into interspace travel. And, like, oh, shit, they're finally realizing things are worse, than we know. They're finally...
It's not that we know that they've ignored. They've been told this stuff over and over and over again, but it didn't fit their political agenda, so they've ignored it and have told people it was lies, and they're just a bunch of liars.
Here's something that's disturbing me, personally. That I read in the last couple days. I'm going on a tangent now because now I'm feeling upset and anxious.
It's because you have a granddaughter now?
I just... that still sounds weird. I'm a grandma. Weird. I just read a headline and I did not click into the article.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say that.
Okay.
But it said that NASA said that we will not be able to get a human being on the moon until 2025. What the fuck? Did we or did we not actually do that in 1969? And if we could do it then, why is it so fucking hard to do now? So now I'm like, oh shit, are all those conspiracy theorists who said we never landed on the moon right? Like, what the fuck is going on? Are we really getting that much stupider that we, like, lost that knowledge? Or are we just...
I think it's money. Funding. They haven't been funded. NASA was one of the biggest projects through the 60s and 70s, so they had all the funding.
And they were, I know...
And now, I mean, they got literally shut down. Down
to $5 billion, but I thought that was being balanced out by private sector.
But everyone has
their agenda. We should be able to honestly go to the moon tomorrow, I think.
You want to do our podcast on the moon for our 20th anniversary?
You know, if I was a little bit older and didn't care about dying, I would totally do that. I'm almost there. I'm not quite there.
Not quite there yet.
Yeah. Maybe when I'm 60. I don't know.
Cool. So I just wanted to show you some pictures of... Cause
that was a passion tangent I had to go on.
I enjoy your passion.
You see how I leaned forward a little?
She was pointing all over the place. I was looking at her like, what are you yelling at me for?
My
other
hand, mouth talking, my hand mouth.
Yeah, your hand mouth is going. So I just printed off graphs to show you where we're at. So ice sheets, this is the decline in ice sheets over time.
That's going down.
Carbon dioxide.
Are you just going to cover this room with pink papers?
That's carbon dioxide.
So going up.
There's actually, so I found a really cool project. What was it called? It was called.
What was it called?
Dang it. I'll think of it and I'll post it on the site. But they have a website and their whole project is making carbon dioxide visible. So they have these special lenses that, so like when you're talking, you can actually see this kind of blue kind of film layer that shows the carbon dioxide. So they go and they film like cars and planes and talking and all these different things to actually visually show people carbon dioxide's real. It's happening every day.
People don't think it's real. They think it's like a myth.
Well, it's kind of like that. If I don't have to see it, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
So when you actually start seeing it and you go, oh yes, that plane is definitely letting off a lot more than my breath does. Like you actually have a connection.
Well, here's an example of that. When I go to LA and I can't see the mountains, I'm like, the smog is bad.
Oh, it's so bad.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
But when you live there, you don't notice that because it's just your normal.
It's the perspective change. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyways, it was really cool to kind of see they have like videos and stuff that they do. Just to kind of raise more awareness
because
about what it is.
Because we can see our mountains very clearly,
mm-hmm.
you know, unless it's a smoky day. Yeah. Smoke fires. Yeah. Smoke fires, is that a thing?
Smoke fires? Smoky fires. Fires make smoke.
Fires, they're creating smoke.
You drunk?
You know what?
You're sleep deprived and one can of wine.
I'm Woo! Not quite to the Party. End of it, but I'm feeling it.
Okay, Woo! There is the Arctic sea ice.
Okay,
going down,
very jagged, but a downward trend.
Global temperature.
Let's just litter this room with pink papers.
Everywhere. Pink papers everywhere.
Okay, going up. More of a curvy
Did you see
shape.
The spike? And that's the 2010 for 5
you
years.
You can see that?
Why am I even handing you paper?
No, I can see the general trends. I can't
She can see the line on the paper.
The wording on the X and Y axis.
All right. How dare you? Okay, so scientists attribute the global warming trend observed since the mid-20th century to human expansion of the greenhouse effect, warming that results when the atmosphere traps heat radiating from Earth towards space. So that's what that is. Certain gases in the atmosphere block heat from escaping. Long-lived gases that remain semi-permanently in the atmosphere and do not respond physically or chemically to changes in temperature are described as forcing climate change. Gases such as water vapor, which respond physically or chemically to changes in temperature, are seen as feedbacks. Gases that contribute to the greenhouse effect include water vapor, the most abundant greenhouse gas, but importantly, it acts as a feedback to the climate. Water vapor increases as the Earth's atmosphere warms. But so does the possibility of clouds and rain, precipitation, making these some of the most important feedback mechanisms to the greenhouse effect. So part of what we end up getting more of is water, water vapor. Carbon.
Like what they gather in Tatooine with those things that look like my arm sticking up like this. Like that.
Oh, you're asking a question?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you were making a statement.
No, I was...
I was distracted by your arm.
I was being a Tatooine water vapor gatherer.
Yep, yep.
Okay.
And then there's carbon dioxide, CO2, a minor but very important component of the atmosphere. Carbon dioxide is released through natural processes such as respiration.
Diamonds too, people.
Oh, thanks.
I was reading the side science guide.
Oh, your words are getting real jumbled.
that's why I have to go first.
Carbon dioxide is... It would have been so much funnier, though, if you went second.
I'm still on my first can of wine, people. I just want you to know that. This is not...
And she walks home, so it's okay. Carbon dioxide is released through natural processes such as breathing, volcanic eruptions, and through human activities such as deforestation, land use changes, burning fossil fuels. Humans have increased atmospheric CO2 concentration by more than one-third since the Industrial Revolution. This is the most important long-lived forcing of climate change. Then there's also methane, a hydrocarbon.
Farts.
Yes, a hydrocarbon gas produced both through natural sources and human activities, including decomposition, waste, and landfills make methane. Agriculture. Cow farts.
Cow farts. What about people farts?
People,
how big of a
that's methane.
Is that?
Small, but and especially
I want to see a pie chart.
It says especially rice cultivation, as well as ruminant digestion and manure management associated with domestic livestock. So it's in there.
Here comes the attack on the Asians.
Get ready.
No, I know about this. The cooking fires. Are you getting to that?
No, I wasn't going. No, but can now you have to tell me about.
Well. The research that I've read is that most of the problem with, you know,
rice
carbon
and methane footprint yeah.
is the cooking fires in China. Like, that's where the most pollution is.
Hmm. Well, this is all from NASA, so it actually doesn't point fingers at specific people or countries.
I've seen some maps.
What is that noise?
I think it's... a motorcycle? I don't know.
Doesn't sound like a motorcycle.
But I've seen some maps, and yes, China is huge.
Yeah.
Outside of LA is
mm-hmm.
huge.
Mm-hmm.
There's some other areas that are especially problematic.
Yeah, I could see that. So
Spokane's pretty good.
On a molecule-for-molecule basis, methane is far more active of a greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide, but it's way less abundant in the atmosphere, so there's just not as much of it. If there was as much carbon dioxide as there is methane as there is carbon dioxide, it'd be an even huger issue.
Methane.
What did I say?
Meth.
Methane.
But meth is a big problem too. Different.
Well,
different day.
Different topic.
Different topic.
Lots of photos will be posted.
Oh my god! I'm putting that on my list. I'm gonna beat you.
You can't steal everything.
I'm gonna beat you to meth.
Keeps a master list. It's first come, first serve, by the way.
Okay, well, I'm still putting it on my list. I'm gonna
put it on your list. I don't care about your stupid list. Sorry.
My list is smart.
Nitrous oxide.
I have one.
Nitrous oxide, a powerful greenhouse gas produced by soil cultivation practices, especially the use of commercial and organic fertilizers, fossil fuel combustion, nitric acid production, and biomass burning. And then the last one on here is... good look at this. It's CFCs, chlorofluorocarbons, synthetic compounds entirely of industrial origin, used in a number of applications, but are now widely regulated because it's completely industrial based.
Mm.
So
you pronounce those really well.
Thanks. I slowed it down.
I'm finding that helps.
What?
I'm finding that helps.
Good. Over the last century, the burning of fossil fuels like coal and oil has increased concentration of atmospheric carbon dioxide.
Coal and oil?
Coal and oil?
Sorry.
No. Coal and oil.
That goes to our topic with Buns about her fondness for colonoscopies.
Yes. This happens...
Oh, no, that wasn't her fondness. Her fondness for colon cleansing.
Yes.
Which is different. I think it's a little more recreational.
I guess. This happens because the coal or oil burning process combines carbon with oxygen in the air to make CO2. To a lesser extent, the clearing of land for agriculture, industry, and other human activities has increased those greenhouse gases. So, the consequences are difficult to predict, but certain effects seem pretty likely. So, the first one is the loudest train.
This is the hood, man.
All right. When everyone's like, it's so noisy in the background. It's not the editing. It's the million trains that go by the entire time we are recording. I live between two trains. I'm very hateful towards them.
This is called Sunset Junction here. Yeah. So that means...
sounds very romantic.
A lot of trains are coming through.
Mm-hmm. At sunset. Yeah. All right. So...
I don't think that's what it means.
It's sunset right now. And there's a lot of trains.
I know, but they go through all day.
But you just called it Sunset Junction.
It's called Sunset Junction. That's Sunset Highway out there. But I don't think it has anything to do with the time of day.
Oh, because it's Sunset Highway?
I think it was just
Do you think that highway, though, is called that because you can overlook the river and see the sunset?
Possibly, probably. I'm going to say that's a probable hypothesis.
Cool. All right, on average, Earth will become warmer. Some regions may welcome this, others may not. Warmer conditions will probably lead to more evaporation and precipitation overall, but individual regions will vary, some becoming wetter, other becoming drier.
What will we become?
Probably wetter. Because if you think about it, if water keeps coming in from the coast, rising sea levels creates more of that feedback. Warming and then
well, last winter we hardly had any snow until like February, and then we had like 20,000 feet of it
in a week, and then it like went away after 3 weeks,
but
something like that.
Even though it was a lot, we still don't have a significant snowpack this year, and they say that the fires are going to be super shitty this year.
I know, again, the fires are
That's
so bad.
That's why I am dedicated to going out in nature every weekend
until it gets awful and you have to wear a mask.
Yes,
okay. So, a stronger greenhouse effect will warm the oceans and partially melt glaciers and other ice, increasing sea levels. Ocean water will also expand if it warms, contributing further to sea level rise. So, meanwhile, some crops and other plants may respond favorably, growing more vigorously, but other ones may kind of go away altogether. So, in the fifth assessment report of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, there were 1,300 independent scientific experts from countries all over the world, and they concluded that more than 95% probability, I keep saying that because it's not wrong, at least odds are it's not wrong.
Statistically relevant.
That human activities have played a part in the past 50 years of warming our planet, and the biggest part in doing that. So
I'm so sorry.
The industrial activities that are modern... Why is it so loud? It's
because
so much louder.
Because the window's open.
The industrial activities...
You need to choose quiet podcasting room or
hot.
Cool-ish.
This will just impact other people later. The industrial activities...
temperature, sand, baby. You choose.
Depends
you
on...
have it all.
...have raised atmospheric carbon dioxide levels from 280 parts per million... to 400 parts per million in the last 150 years. The panel also concluded that there's a better than... I've already said that. I'm not going to say it again. Don't make me say it again.
Don't,
95% probability.
Don't
say it again. They're really trying to drive the point home.
95% is, like, significant to restate.
Yeah. So, basically... some people say that it's because of the sun, but since 1750, the average amount of energy coming from the sun either remained constant or increased slightly.
I hate that term, the sun. It's so human-centric.
It is.
Every star is a fucking sun. It's not the sun. It's a
Why are you
sun.
Making this about how you feel about the sun right now?
Because it makes me angry. I believe in an expansive universe with other life.
So basically, if it was the sun, scientists would expect to see warmer temperatures in all layers of the atmosphere instead of just in the upper parts where the greenhouse gases are. So obviously, doesn't make sense.
Obviously.
And they just said solar irradiance. Solar irradiance can't reproduce the same temperature changes as greenhouse gases. Okay, so really some of the things that will happen, the climate will continue to change throughout the century and past this century. We're going to start having frost-free seasons, and our growing seasons will lengthen. In the future, heat-trapping gas emissions will continue to grow, increasing a month or more in the length of frost-free and growing seasons are projected across most of the U.S. by the end of the century, with slightly smaller increases in the northern Great Plains. The largest increases in frost-free seasons, more than 8 weeks,
does that mean no more winter weeks?
Are projected in western U.S., particularly in higher elevations and coastal areas. The increases will be considered smaller if heat-trapping gas emissions are reduced. So they're not going to get their little frosty few weeks of the year.
But I think that's important for certain crops.
Yeah, some of them are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Precipitation patterns are going to change. Average U.S. precipitation has increased since 1900, but some have increased more. More winter and spring precipitation is projected for northern United States and less for the Southwest over the next century. Projection for the U.S. climate over the U.S. Projection of future climate over the U.S. suggests that recent trends toward increased heavy rains will continue. And the regions where it's going to be less is going to be the Southwest of the U.S.
Like,
so we're going to have more rain. Yeah. Global sea levels have risen about 8 inches. We already talked about that. It's expected to rise another 1 to 4 feet by 2100. This is the result of added water from melting.
I'll be dead.
In 2100?
Yeah.
Oh. Will I be dead? How old am I? Oh, that's math. In the next several decades, storm surges and high tides could combine with sea level rises and land subsidence to further increase flooding in many regions. So you may see more flooding. Again, with that extra rain becomes a big problem. We don't handle
flooding well. Actually, I might not be dead. Flooding well. Maybe I'll cryogenically save my head.
I'll save you in a jar.
Thank you.
It's going to be a big
jar. But it has to be frozen.
Why?
At a deep temperature.
Why?
Or else the tissue will die.
Okay.
It'll still be stinky and it'll
float
out.
U.S. regional effects. Do you want to know for our region or specific region? I got, like, each region of the U.S.
I care about me a lot.
So the Northwest?
Let's talk about us.
Changes in the timing of stream flow reduce water supplies for competing demands. Sea level rise, erosion, inundation, risk to infrastructure, and increasing ocean acidity pose...
Inundation?
Yeah.
I don't know what that's
called. Acidity pose major threats. Increasing wildfires, insect outbreaks, and tree diseases are causing widespread tree die-off.
The fucking insects. Have you noticed this spring?
Yes.
The fucking insects. The black flies.
Yeah.
On my neck and... Like, there's big ants, like, carrying whole Doritos across my lawn. What the fuck is going on?
That's what's going global warming.
Jesus Christ. I see it. I'm suffering.
Your eyes are open. Well, now, if I could get you to stop being an anti-vaxxer, we could be on the same page.
Well, you know. My kids have
I really hope you heard that thud of her head hitting the wall.
I don't even know what I was going to say now because I hit my head on the wall. Is that it?
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
Thanks.
Do you have a concluding statement?
My concluding statement is do what you can while you can, motherfuckers.
Yeah, the future depends on it. My granddaughter's life depends on it.
You're killing her brand new granddaughter.
Yeah, let's baby Stella have a chance.
Baby Stella.
Yes. Isn't that a cute name?
That is adorable.
I'm going to go hold her after this.
That's cool.
Smell
well,
her.
Let's get out of here.
All right, until next time.
Huff in that birth smell.
And wait, reduce your global footprint.
And don't be a pedophile and write child books about
Never do that.